now the man behind a push for a third supermarket chain. Tex Edwards founded the telecommunications firm Two Degrees and has been described as a monopoly buster. He's part of the consortium Northelia, a group keen to set up a new supermarket chain in competition with the incumbents Woolworths New Zealand and Foodstuffs if the regulatory environment were to be changed. He is also part of the lobby group Monopoly Watch, and it's in that capacity he spoke to us this morning. In a draft report in July, the Commerce Commission found that supermarkets were making excess profits and signalled it could require the incumbents to sell some of their stores and open up their distribution centres to its rivals in order to help a third operator enter the market. The Commission is currently holding a virtual conference on its market study with a final report due next year. Tex Edwards says New Zealanders are currently getting poor service and paying too much.
The damage done is off the charts, and the sort of perpetuation of the monopoly practices and the barriers to entry built by incumbents are really severe. So we don't think that an unbundling of the supermarkets where there's a forced divestment of 150 supermarkets, we don't think that's radical at all. We think that's a rational piece of legislative initiative to create competition. And, sorry?
I was going to say, you've been there before in the telecom sector, which the government did unbundle in the early 2000s, splitting telecom up, paving the way for competition such as Vodafone and Two Degrees.
Yeah.
Could you explain how did you go about breaking into that monopoly sector with Two Degrees? What was it that made it possible?
The Two Degrees story is a very difficult one for me because I actually rolled into town in October 2000. It was actually October the 14th because I remember the flight. And I mean, there was all this legislation in place to kick off a third operator when market penetration was 50%. Essentially, it took 9 years to get the capital, and there was three iterations of legislation because we kept getting blocked by lobbyists. I'm actually, the Two Degrees business is a fantastic success, and I urge all the consumers and listeners to get out and support that puppy because it's created benefits for everybody in New Zealand, including incumbent phone users. But the issue is there was a lot of blocking. Two Degrees initiated service in August 2009, and remember, we started the project in October 2000. And essentially, it wasn't until the government agency, the Commerce Commission, published a really sensible report. I'm going to say it was October 2006 that we got financing. And we got financing for that project. It took me 6 years to get financing. And we got it as a consequence of sensible benchmark legislation, which was essentially we'll introduce an OECD-style regulatory environment. Remember, the supermarket narrative here is quite different, Catherine, because we've had 20 years of ring fencing, of monopoly building, of geographic monopolies, and we've had some really radical anti-competitive behaviour here. Most recently, that Wawa Road initiative where Pack and Save wanted to break up the pocket of lower North Shore Countdown dominance, and you know, they were blocked for 10 years. So we've had some quite unruly behaviour here, and what attracted Monopoly Watch to just put on hold its other project and come and take a peek at the supermarket industry was the essential initiative by the Commission, the Commerce Commission, who published quite a earth-shattering report, I think is the way it's run.
Let's look at what could happen. And Northelia has made a submission to the Commerce Commission as well as Monopoly Watch. And in its submission, it says in one sentence, we will deliver a new like-for-like supermarket chain with independent, competing, open-access wholesaler, a New Zealand-controlled and owned facility with world-class technology, leveraging franchise, and owned stores confronting the benign and clubhouse noise from the current monopolist incumbents. It says it can mobilise a capital base in excess of $1 billion. You're not going to tell me here who the investors are who may step up for that, but you're telling me they're there. What would it take? And let's talk a bit more specifically about the kind of forced sell-off, the opening up of the wholesalers to the third competitor that the Commerce Commission report did refer to. But tell me what it would take for these investors to step forward and do this?
Thanks for that. I'm not at liberty to go into a lot of detail about Northelia because we have a board structure and the investors want to maintain anonymity. But in high-level thinking at 200,000 feet discussing Northelia, it's essentially a greenfield institutional startup with New Zealand ownership. And essentially it requires a regulatory prescription to really fix some of the almost obscene behaviours of the incumbent supermarkets of the last 20 years. Essentially, you're undoing part of that ridiculous 3-2 merger. Essentially, you're unblocking property covenants, but you're really fixing some of these pocket monopolies, because a trained eye looks at the geographic distribution of supermarkets and you see there's not a lot of like-for-like competition. The essential embryo of Northelia was created because at Monopoly Watch, we're sitting with a group of people who are concerned about private sector monopolies in New Zealand. And essentially, it was my old flatmate from London, and she said, look, Tex, don't be lazy and just complain about what's wrong with the supermarket duopoly. Put up a plan of fixing it. And I think Northelia had been quite open-minded in that it might not be Northelia who takes the reins of the carriage here. It might be some other operator might see that the Commerce Commission is so serious about creating competition that you see some other player step up, which is great. It's a successful Monopoly Watch in that matter. But the embryo of Northelia is genuine. We have some genuine investors and who have skills and form in the industry. And if we see a very prescriptive demand for competition, then that's a rational, tried and tested, reasonable solution. And remember that the Commerce Commission report, which for me personally, after having read ComCom reports for over 20 years, it's absolutely my favourite. It's 517 pages. It has a 60-page discussion on how the ridiculous profits come out of the supermarket duopoly. It discusses barriers to entry. It discusses property. It discusses the Wawa Road incident of the early 2000s. So Northelia is essentially a formula to create competition, but it's not naive that Northelia doesn't think other people will be interested if the government publishes, if the ComCom publishes this report and the government endorses what the Commerce Commission wants to do in this area. And remember, they might not do that. Let's keep an open mind here. The Commission run an independent process. Our job in the inquiry is to produce the evidence of the consumer harm, the evidence of the supplier harm, and then also sort of paint a vision of what the world could look like. I think vision is important for Kiwis because too often we hide behind this, there's no room for competition in New Zealand. It would be great if we just had one or two players and more private jets and more huge boats. But
Let's get to the vision. And say it's Northelia, or Northelia, beg your pardon, or say it's Aldi or Costco that comes and does this. Yeah. The argument is that Foodstuffs and Woolworths should be forced to sell off stores, number one, and number two, open up distribution centres. Now, you know, the Commerce Commission itself has alluded to this as an option. What would it take to make it happen without it becoming a straight-out wealth transfer from one private business to another? Explain to us how this could happen.
It's not a wealth transfer because, remember, it's exactly the same formula that we saw successfully executed in our telecommunications network in the early 2010s. Because essentially you've got asset bottleneck infrastructure assets that are subject to regulation. The disclosure reports in the Woolworths annual accounts and financing documents and the disclosure in the Foodstuffs annual report show that they're subject to regulatory environments that may change. And essentially, you're removing the monopoly rent basis from the current infrastructure and then you're on selling it at cost. It could be that there's some spin-off, that there's some new franchise model that works in the new structure. Essentially, it's important in a public policy process like the supermarket debate to escalate debate, not to just harping on and on about the problems, which is important, of course, and it's important to bring the evidence of consumer harm and supply harm and the lack of innovation to the table. But the Northelia submission is really based around an initiative to prepare Kiwis for a vision of what a third operator looks like. And I'm sure that if their recommendation is structural separation, then we'll see more submissions and more people enter the fray. What's really important, I think, in New Zealand is that at the distribution centre, there's also a duopoly. So in other countries, people can buy wholesale groceries if you're a small, in New Zealand we call them dairies, convenience store, a restaurant, and there is a vigorous wholesale market, and other supermarket chains can live off that. And particularly in 3, 4, and 5 player markets, the internet operators have been vigorous in being able to start up. And on a sort of game theory basis, if you're into game theory economics, which is an important application in competition law matters, you need to sort of understand that you can't get an internet operator started in New Zealand if you've only got 2 distribution centres. They need to be opened up. And so I think the Northelia proposal catalogues that in a period of 3 years, the Northelian consortium would build its own infrastructure, i.e. its own distribution centre, which would really open up and escalate competition. Just like you might remember that in the mobile phone industry, there was no MVNOs, there was no virtual mobile operators when it was a 2-player market. But when there was a 3-player market, then MVNOs had sustainable economics.
The other biggie is that you would, or a new entrant would want to gain access to data from existing customer loyalty schemes. To stop the kind of buyback behaviour that we frequently see, say, in the electricity market?
100%, Catherine. Thanks for reminding me of that one. Remember, data's a new gold. So essentially, the Commerce Commission, again, what an excellent report. I mean, I think they did 60 pages and they did their own testing of just how confusing data collection was in both incumbent supermarkets. And they discussed loyalty cards as just being confusion and collecting data. And remember, we've got to look at where we're going in this industry. It's not just about prices for consumers. It's about a consumer productivity dividend. Consumers can articulate the productivity dividend they've got from their dishwasher or their washing machine. But internet shopping and internet fridges, where your internet fridge scans how much milk or butter or beer, whatever you've got in the fridge, and it creates shopping lists, it goes to app. When you're in the supermarket, you're getting watched by the video. If you look at the data disclaimer that you sign when you apply for a Countdown or a New World or a Pack and Save card, they can have cameras watching your behavior off your smartphone. So you've got quite, not today, not tomorrow, but in the next decade, we're going to see quite substantial innovation if we have competition. If we don't have competition, it will just be like communist supermarkets in the 70s. But if we have competition, we're going to see a huge consumer productivity dividend as a consequence of new style of shopping, which will be a combination between experience shopping in the store and internet shopping and internet fridge data bundling. So your kitchen is actually creating a data feed into your mobile phone. So essentially, the Northelia submission and the Monopoly Watch submission is that we want almost number portability in supermarket information. It's quite important even today, and it's an easy win for the Commerce Commission tomorrow or next week or next month, next year, that you might have loyalty card transferability. So for ease of conversation, a practical application of this, if you're a vigorous Countdown shopper in you're buying all the food for the Marae, and you spend $80,000 a year at Countdown, you can take your loyalty card printout of what you're buying and take it to Pack and Save and say, hey, can you better this price? I've got to buy for the Marae for the next 12 months. And remember this, the pack and save are going to treat you quite differently. You might be grandma living in a retirement village, so you're not buying your own food. You're only spending $500-$600 a year on your loyalty card. And so it gives this sense of negotiability to the big spenders. Essentially, when you see a third operator come, just like you saw in the telco industry, you're going to see more aggressive segmentation. So today, there's not much segmentation inside Countdown. It's essentially a premium store. You haven't got luxury, premium, and economy. Pack and save, different. The foodstuffs footprint is you've got an economy offering, which is unchallenged, pack and save, and a premium offering, New World. But you'll see more segmentation if a third operator comes. You'll also probably see smaller stores.
You warn in some ways against, you warn very bluntly, against a halfway house.
Thank you.
And tell me why the halfway house is not going to work, why the structural separation and the opening up of the wholesaling is essential.
Yeah, thanks, Catherine. It's probably why I've got a bad personality. I don't rate myself. I'm just a grumpy old grey guy now. I'm not a 30-something startup guy like I was in the 90s and early 2000s. But the issue is that hell zone of the 2 degrees adventure where it took 9 years to get going, and we saw 3 legislative changes that didn't work. And respectfully, apologetically, I went off piste during the Commerce Commission conference last week because Sue Kedgley was mentioned, and she proposed 2012 lobbyist disclosure bill. And because there's no anti-lobbyist legislation in New Zealand, we went to, I won't say hell and back, but, did run out of money. It was a really painful experience getting the 2 degrees adventure started. It's a credit to the investors who put their money in. It's a credit to the 4,128 people who worked there and helped get it going. But the gig there is, Catherine, remember we had legislation in the Fletcher Ministerial Inquiry in 1999 to get telecommunications competition. We had the 2001 telecommunications bill. We had the 2004 bill. We had a change of regulator. We had 2005, 2006, 2007 legislation. And it took a whole decade it actually took 13 years to get number portability introduced, basic piece of competition hygiene. And why I warn in these reports, the context, Catherine, is that it took so long in telco to get going because we're lobbied out. We can't have a halfway house because if we have a halfway house in supermarkets, it will just be more blur and more what we call Pyrrhic competitors. We've got healthy minor operators and it just noise that there's competition but no real consumer productivity dividend, no consumer price dividend, and no upstream innovation in suppliers. And it's one of my favourite points, actually, that in the Commerce Commission report, they understand that opening the bottleneck of supermarkets to having 3 or 4 or 5 players helps competition and innovation in suppliers. Innovation in suppliers are really important in New Zealand. We're a food exporting country, and when you have a vibrant, vigorous market, suppliers have a forum to test their product. And no better working example of this is in Grey Lynn. Well, on one side of the road, you've got Faro Supermarket, and the other side of the road, you've got Countdown. Faro is a turbocharged machine of innovation, everything from the way they serve fresh orange juice to their cheeses to their the domestic products to the muesli selection they have there. It's just an innovation turbocharger. And so, that's another important part of why we need competition and why a breakup.
You concede, I think, that what is proposed is unprecedented, and therefore what is it that it would take? And in the submission there is a 6 or 7 point plan. What would it take on the government side and on the Commerce Commission side to progress the size of reform that you propose?
It's essentially what's unprecedented here is the behavior that's taken place. I mean, I started researching this, and you know, I always enjoy a good research project. I love being an analyst. And what's unprecedented here? 3-2 merger anywhere in the world? That was a mistake. The Commerce Commission complained about it. Even Foodstuff CEO, bless his cotton socks, accurately made a submission point back in the early 2000s that a 3-2 merger would end in tears. What's unprecedented is that you can have competitors buy 20% of the stock of a challenger. I mean, the warehouse customers deserve compensation of several billion dollars. And I think what's required here, Catherine, to your point, is we need the commission and the government to understand that what has taken place in the New Zealand supermarket infrastructure industry is unprecedented, and to rectify it with normal, basic competition law practices of creating competition. What I was really encouraged by was the language, again, of that 517-page report, which I've now read three times. I think it's better every read. It's actually better than the new James Bond script, Catherine. It's just so exciting. But actually, to point there, is that the commission describe, well, what are the barriers to entry in this industry? And they don't describe that in this report. They describe what will it take to get a new entrant, and what will it take to have that new entrant expand its footprint and create a vibrant, ongoing, competitive market for suppliers and for consumers. And so it's almost the balance of probabilities change from what are the barriers to entry as to what do we need to do. And it was that language that actually excited the Northelia board, and in particular my old flatmate from London. She's a dynamo in FMCG, and she actually basically put me up to it. And she basically said, "Tex, change industries for a short while. Look at this. I've really enjoyed it. I think I'll reserve judgment on and not comment about the Commerce Commission. They have a professional process. Their job is to defend the public interest. You know, now ironically, I said to one of my mates, I said, look, the ComCom does what the Ministry of Health do, and also the Defence Force does. The Defence Force protects the people. The Ministry of Health protects the people. Well, so does the Commerce Commission, and they need to protect the people from rapacious, monopolistic, duopolistic behaviour. And in this instance, because we're a food exporting country, it's really important, not just for consumers. Of course, it's important for consumers' pricing and consumers' productivity dividend, but it's also important that we have this vigorous, competitive domestic market for our food exporters to test their products.
Tex Edwards, founder of the telecommunications firm 2Degrees. He's a member of, or part of, the consortium Northelia, and was speaking to us as part of the lobby group Monopoly Watch. Those Commerce Commission virtual conferences are continuing. Final report due out next year.